The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, JVC Broadcasting Management, or its sponsors.
Good morning, Long Island, and welcome to DDI on Autism on 103.9 FM, keeping an eye on autism and giving a voice to its Long Island community. I'm your host, Dr. Michael Romas, and again, so glad that you can join us this morning as we share and explore all relevant issues related to autism spectrum disorder. Well, my guest this morning is Dr. Ludmila Praslova. Dr. Praslova holds a PhD in organizational psychology. She is a professor of psychology and the founding director of graduate programs in organizational psychology at Vanguard University of Southern California. Prior to her academic career, Dr. Praslova has built and led successful intercultural relation programs and facilitated cross-cultural collaboration in global organizations. And finally, you know, her recent work is focused on supporting organizations in creating systemic inclusion informed by an understanding of neurodiversity. That's a mouthful, but welcome, Dr. Praslova.
Thank you so much. I'm happy to be here.
We're glad to have you here. There's kind of a lot to unpack and probably not anywhere near as much time as we would like. But, you know, I guess we should begin at the beginning. If you could maybe speak a little bit to your interest in this area. My understanding is that you've had a long held interest in the subject of neurodiversity. Diversity in general, inclusion that goes all the way back to your time in your country of origin, which I believe is the former Soviet Union. Did I get most of that right?
Absolutely. You did a perfect job.
Good.
Yes.
Good.
I'm from Moscow, and that's where I started working in intercultural relations and in global diversity. So actually, back when I was a college student, it's when things started becoming really interesting and intercultural, and old Moscow became one of the global centers with a lot of languages. So I kind of jumped into working with global diversity back in college. And then for several years, I was just helping people out and trying to build communication and understanding across individuals from really many different continents. And it was actually a lot of fun. It was a fun job. But I was obviously focused on differences in national level culture and language, but there were also very significant differences in social economic status and the national level of development and variety of attitudes. So, for example, there were very significant differences in gender norms with all those cultures. So I just started thinking about different layers of diversity and different aspects of diversity. So I was more and more fascinated in how we can work with people who are so different from us. So when I decided to go to graduate school, it was a program in industrial organizational psychology. But everything I did, all of my research, my master's thesis, my dissertation, it was all focused specifically on culture and how national level culture, individual reflections of culture, organizational levels of culture interact to create better or worse circumstances for people to be productive in the workplace. So that is something that I've been doing for many years, and looking at culture in all of its different layers, starting from something very large, such as national cultures, global differences, looking at organizational cultures, looking at differences in specific areas. We all know that different states within the U.S. have very different cultures, regions, and then the variety of individual level influences based on all of our different aspects of background. So there is a lot that is going on. But then if you look at individual level differences, then one of the major ones that we haven't explored nearly enough is neurodiversity, which is something that influences how we function at work, how we process, how we communicate, but people are not sufficiently aware of those differences. So sometimes we can just make assumptions about people without really understanding, or we create job situations that are not necessarily appropriate based on particular neurodiversity differences, and actually do not allow people to work to the maximum of their abilities. So that is something that I've been particularly interested as the most recent stage of my work. And it definitely helps to have the perspective from global to organizational to individual level diversities and how all of this is brought together in the work context.
Well, you know, you've characterized, Ludmilla, I believe, people on the spectrum, people who are default, you know, considered neurodiverse, as canaries in the coal mine or canaries in the mine. It caught my attention, and I had some ideas about what you might mean by that. When we talked about that, it felt like I was on the right track, but I'd rather listeners hear directly from you about what that really means. What does it mean to be, in this context, a canary in the mine?
Absolutely. And I did not invent this comparison. It does appear in autistic writing, and people have talked about how specifically autistic individuals are more sensitive to environment. Mm-hmm. So let's say in the workplace, bullying is not good for anybody. Having too many meetings is not good for anybody. But those things are going to negatively influence people on the spectrum before other people are going to notice that it's draining their energy or preventing them from working to the best of their abilities. So it is very similar to the actual historical practice of bringing canaries into mines, because when there is a dangerous gas leak, the bird will stop singing, and you will see that it's in distress, and eventually it will succumb. But it happens before it affects humans. So the bird was actually kind of the early warning before we had detectors, electronic detectors for dangerous gas in the mine. They actually used the bird as a warning system that people need to get out of there.
So part of the work then of creating a workspace that allows for the kind, and we'll talk about this more, the kind of infinite thriving that can happen when it's done right is anticipating what some of those barriers might be, and not necessarily just responding to barriers in a way that really allows for augmentative kind of aids. And no, it's rather looking at the entire design of a workspace and configuring in such a way that would allow canaries to be less canaries than actual inhabitants that would gravitate to being there. So that's a thought. Is that good? So I'm going to ask you to hold that thought as we move towards a break. I'm Dr. Michael Romas. You're listening to 103.9 FM, DDI on Autism. My guest is Dr. Ludmilla Pazlova, and we'll be back in just a moment. Stay with us.